Hello everyone, welcome to a new episode of my podcast Explore and Engage with Anam. Before I jump into the episode, I would like to highlight that I have a website that you can visit, and the website is tossifanam.net. tossifanam.net, and on that website you will find, in addition to information on my podcast, the podcast that you're listening to right now, you will also find information on my blog. You can check out my blog and read all my blog posts. You will also find information on a variety of published opinions. I have written lots of letters to editors and op-eds, and the links to those articles are available on my website. And in addition to all that, you can also follow me on social media, and my social media information is also available on my website. So if you have not visited my website yet, please go check it out, tossifanam.net. And having said that, let me start today's episode. And the very first thing that I'm going to talk about is the presidential election that's coming up in November of 2024. And it may seem that November of 2024 is far away, but it's really not. As I keep saying, time flies really fast. And so November 2024 will be here very soon. And so an update that I would like to share, something that I saw in the news, and that is incumbent President Joe Biden said that he plans to run for re-election in 2024, but he is still not prepared to announce it yet. Now, you may ask, what does that actually mean? The president is planning to run for re-election, but he's still not prepared to announce it yet? Why is that? Well, what about other Democrat candidates who probably want to run, potential candidates at this point, who probably want to run, but perhaps they are hesitant to announce their candidacy because the incumbent president from their party hasn't made a decision yet. So are there lots of other people from the Democratic side who would probably jump into the race, but they are hesitant to do so, and they are waiting for Joe Biden to make his decision? That could be the case. But there are some who are probably not going to wait for President Joe Biden to make his decision. For example, Marianne Williamson. She's an author. She's a former Democrat presidential candidate. Marianne Williamson already announced that she is running for the office of the president. And she's running as a Democrat. And Robert F. Kennedy Jr. Robert F. Kennedy Jr. announced a launch date for his campaign, which is in April, which is this month. And so here's another candidate who is running as a Democrat. So if Joe Biden decides to seek re-election, then Marianne Williamson and Robert F. Kennedy Jr. are going to be primary challengers. And this season, this is the most active season. Everyone is talking about who's running and who's not. On the Republican side, we know that President Donald Trump, he is running for the office of the president. He's the former president now, and he wants to become the next president. And then former Ambassador Nikki Haley, she's running as a Republican, and also former Arkansas Governor Asa Hutchinson, he also announced his candidacy. So we have former President Donald Trump, former Ambassador Nikki Haley, and former Governor Asa Hutchinson. They are all running to become the president. And so lots of activity on the Democratic side, lots of activity on the Republican side, who's running, who's not, lots of speculation and lots of anticipation and lots of discussion. So this season is very active. This is the season. This is the exciting season. I know we have not reached the middle of 2023 yet, but we are already talking about November of 2024. So on that note, I think that this is actually a good season for running. And let me clarify, now I am not talking about a run for the office. I am not talking about running for any political office. I am actually now talking about running. And I mean running as in jogging, running as in running to burn calories, because this is a wonderful season. This is spring, and it finally feels like spring is here. The weather is warm, it's bright and sunny. At least here in southern Wisconsin, it is so pleasant. This week so far has been amazing. And let me tell you, my friends, for the first time in months, I turned on the air conditioner in my vehicle yesterday. And it was very pleasant. The sun was shining, it was bright, it was warm. And as I was driving, I turned on the air conditioner. Now, I also did open up the windows a little bit to let air in, so I enjoyed that. But at some point, it was getting a little too warm, and I had to turn on the air conditioner. So that tells me that spring is finally here, and I hope that this is going to be a wonderful season. Now, this season is special for one other reason. This is the season for grassroots political engagement. That is correct. I'm talking about politics now again. So, elections are won by energizing and mobilizing the grassroots. And county parties all over the United States are getting ready for November 2024. I think that is what a county party should be doing if it's an effective county party. In southern Wisconsin, where I live, the political county parties are working really hard. The spring election is over in Wisconsin, and I did talk about the spring election previously, and I want to talk about it again a little bit today. And as you may already know, if you have been listening to my podcast, that we, the conservatives in Wisconsin, we lost the race for the Supreme Court. But there were other races this spring election that we did win. There were local races, for example, school board races. And then there was also a special election for a Wisconsin state Senate seat. And Republicans experienced a major victory in that race. State Representative Dan Canodal won the race for Wisconsin state Senate seat, and that victory actually gives the Republicans in the state a super majority in the state Senate, which is awesome. And that is something that Republicans are celebrating. That is something that is actually going to, that is really going to help Republicans in the state Senate. And this is awesome. But then, obviously, we lost a major statewide race for the Supreme Court. But let me tell you, my friends, that this loss is not going to discourage the Republicans, the conservatives. This loss is actually going to really make the county parties work super hard going forward. And I know that the county parties in Wisconsin are getting ready for November 2024, which is when the presidential election will be. And Wisconsin is a battleground state. Lots of eyes are on Wisconsin. There are lots of questions about who will be getting the 10 Electoral College votes from our state. In 2016, President Trump got the 10 Electoral College votes from Wisconsin. And then in 2020, President Joe Biden got the 10 Electoral College votes from Wisconsin. And so in 2024, are these 10 Electoral College votes going to go to the Republican nominee or the Democratic nominee? That's a big question. The Republicans, the conservatives are working really hard, and they are working on strategy. They are working on energizing the grassroots. They are working on mobilizing volunteers and recruiting new volunteers. And so it's going to be very interesting going forward. And I will definitely be discussing lots of political updates in my podcast, so stay connected with me. And once again, I'm going to be mentioning my website, tossifanam.net. Go and check out my website. Okay, my friends, let me talk about a trend that I have been observing. So, in my last episode, I mentioned that a state legislator in North Carolina switched parties. I talked about a state legislator, Trisha Cotham. She used to be a Democrat, and then she switched parties to become a Republican. And that was a major development. And that is still being discussed. But that's not the only switch that happened in the last couple of weeks. Last month, a state representative in Louisiana went from being a Democrat to becoming a Republican. And that gave the Republicans in the state house a supermajority. And that was State Representative Francis Thompson in Louisiana. That is a major update. And now, let me share with you this. And now, another Democrat legislator in Louisiana is joining the Republican Party. And this is State Representative Jeremy Lacombe, who announced that he left the Democratic Party and would be registering as a Republican. So this is a trend, my friends. Let me tell you, this is definitely a trend. And it's not just among state legislators. There are members of the public who are not elected officials who, in the last couple of years, realized that their views align more with the Republican Party. And so they realized that they are actually conservatives. And a lot of that happened after people witnessed government overreach in the form of mask and vaccine mandates. People love freedom, and anyone who loves freedom will not like the COVID-19 mandates. And so there are people who, after seeing government overreach in the form of mask and vaccine mandates, went on to support conservatives. They went on to support Republicans, and a lot of those folks previously considered themselves Democrats. It's also about common sense. Who wants to pay extremely high prices for gas? Who wants to see inflation erode the value of the dollar? We have an energy crisis and we have inflation because of Democrat policies. It's been going on since the incumbent Democrat president took office. So yes, hardworking Americans are moving away from the Democratic Party and they are moving towards the Republican Party. Let me talk about Gavin Newsom. Who's Gavin Newsom? Gavin Newsom is the governor of California. And recently, the governor of California was on a visit to Florida. Now, don't ask me why. I don't know. But I can guess. What I do know is that California is in a mess with high prices, lots of crime, homelessness crisis, and lots more. There are many problems in California, economic problems and lots of other issues. And so a reasonable person would think that Governor Newsom should be spending time in California. He should be spending time in his own state trying to figure out the solutions to these problems. But instead, he decided to visit Florida. That doesn't make sense to me. But it's not just Florida that he visited. In fact, Governor Newsom of California visited other red states also. So Governor Newsom of California recently visited some conservative states. He visited states like Alabama, Arkansas, and Mississippi. Now, why did Governor Newsom recently visit these conservative states? It may be that Gavin Newsom is looking to learn from these states and he's trying to figure out how to fix the problems that California is facing. Maybe he wants to learn from the policies of the red states, and that could be the reason for his tour. What do you think? Well, I wish that was the case. I wish that Gavin Newsom would just admit that his policies in California are failing and that he now has to turn towards red states to see what policies actually work. Maybe he wants to learn from Florida, and maybe he wishes that California could be more like Florida. Could that be the real reason for Governor Gavin Newsom's recent visit to red states? I don't know, my friends. I don't know the answer, but I invite you to share your thoughts with me. I just love the statement from Mississippi Governor Tate Reeves, who said that tourism helps drive Mississippi's economy and that he is glad to welcome Governor Newsom to Mississippi. So thank you to Governor Newsom for contributing to the tourism industry of some of the red Republican states. That's wonderful. More dollars for the red states, more tourism in the red states, and that is awesome. Now, there could be another reason for Governor Newsom's visit to Florida and Alabama and Arkansas and Mississippi. And, you know, I don't know what the answer is, but maybe the reason is that Gavin Newsom wants to run for president. Could that be the reason? That could be it. Maybe Gavin Newsom wants to be the Democrat nominee for president, but then, as I said at the beginning of the episode, Joe Biden is the incumbent president right now, and he is a Democrat, and he has not yet announced if he's running for re-election or not. So if Gavin Newsom wants to run for president, is he going to challenge the incumbent president in a primary, or will he wait for the incumbent president to make a decision? I don't know. But it's certainly very interesting, and you know, I want you all to share with me what you think is the real reason behind Governor Gavin Newsom's visit to Florida and few other red states. Share with me your thoughts and comments. Go check out my website, tawsifanam.net. Okay, my friends, I would like to talk about something really important. Now, a lot of the things I talk about in my podcast, they are all important issues, but this one, it's different, you know. Without giving an introduction, I think I'm just going to discuss this, and you can let me know what you think. It's about home ownership. I would like to talk about home ownership. Now, I am not a homeowner, meaning I don't own a house in the United States. I live in Madison, Wisconsin, but I don't own a house here in Wisconsin. Someday, will I be a homeowner? I don't know the answer to that. We will find out. A lot of people think that being a homeowner will make them happy. We have all heard about the American dream of home ownership. And many people dream of being a homeowner. And obviously, home ownership is just a wonderful thing. A lot of people work really hard to earn money and to buy a home. It's a dream come true for many people. And I know many immigrants who come to the United States and they cannot wait to put a down payment on a new house. And of course, after that, they have to pay mortgage for years and sometimes for decades before becoming true owners by paying off the mortgage, by paying off the loan. But home ownership is something people pursue, and it is the American dream. And home ownership requires a lot of hard work. And in the United States, people work really hard. People work really hard. They pursue their dreams and they become homeowners. But home ownership is under attack in the United States. And I will share with you some information. A homeowner in the United States right now has every reason to be worried. Now, I don't know how many of you know this, but recently I saw in the news that a homeless person threatened to burn down the house of a woman in Portland. Portland, I have talked about Portland in my podcast. I think it is a city that is facing a severe crisis. Lawlessness has taken over the city of Portland. Residents are suffering. And if somebody is a homeowner in Portland, this news would make that person really worried. Imagine being a homeowner who worked hard to finally buy a house, and then an outsider, whoever that may be, threatens to burn the house down. This is extremely scary. And it happened, according to the news that I saw, it happened in Portland. A homeless person threatened to burn down the house of a woman in Portland. But that's not all. There was a news report that came out a few days ago that discussed how squatters make the lives of property owners miserable. And this report talks about Philadelphia, the city of Philadelphia, in the state of Pennsylvania. Homeowners across the country are getting involved in very expensive legal battles to remove squatters, and reportedly it can cost thousands of dollars to remove squatters, and the legal process can be very complex and very lengthy. And this is happening in the United States. Unfortunately, this is happening in the United States, where home ownership is the American dream. Homeowners are facing a variety of challenges. Property rights are under attack. But the problems are more intense in Democrat-run cities where law and order are not enforced properly. Cities like Philadelphia, Portland, New York City, and there are many. Property rights must be protected. And what's happening in many liberal cities would make homeowners very worried. Homeownership is under attack. And I saw these news updates and I was shocked. I am not a homeowner right now, but as I said, will I be a homeowner someday? I don't know. We'll find out. But it's just shocking what's happening in many of these big cities in the United States. So homeowners are really worried, and these problems must be addressed. So my friends, share with me your thoughts and comments. I always am interested in hearing what you have to say. And just reach out, connect with me on social media, and let me know your thoughts and opinions. Okay, my friends, I have nothing more to discuss in this episode. There are lots of other issues that I will talk about in the next episode. So thank you for staying connected with me. Thank you for listening to my podcast. And I hope to be back again with a new episode. Thank you.